Welcome to the Culture Curators Podcast. We're here to share insight, information, and resources to help you become a more effective salon business owner.
Welcome back, everybody. Today, we are going to be talking about pricing. We're going to be talking about how to raise your pricing specifically, because you are probably ready for a price increase and you haven't done it, you don't know why, or you might be confused about how to price increase, when to price increase. So let's get into it. Jill, why don't you kick it off?
Right. I'm curious, how many of you, when Derek said, we're going to talk about pricing, got like a in your stomach, right? Because you're like, oh my gosh, I know I should, but I'm afraid to. I'm sure you've said that or you know someone that said it. So Let's take the fear out of it and let's just really talk about it from a strategic place. Mm-hmm. And I think that we've come up with a very easy, realistic system to know exactly when it's time to raise your prices and how much to raise your prices. But, you know, I remember as a salon owner, we had a lot of KPIs. And for those of you who don't know KPIs, it's key performance indicators, which we use to base price increases or raises on. And it was complicated. They had to track it every day. They had to maintain it for X amount of time. And there were several categories. I think we had five, maybe six categories. Same. And there's always the specific categories. You've got something around services, either service dollars or average service ticket. You've got retail, either retail dollars or retail average ticket. Some people do something based on the number of referrals each month. It could be the percentage of pre-booking. It could be the percentage of utilization. We've even had some people have things like how many posts a day they do on social media or what their behavior is or if they do their cleaning.
Right.
And so let's talk a little bit about that, why we've chosen to go away from that, and kind of let's start talking about the direction that we've been taking our clients through.
Yeah, I think that the whole idea of it is that you don't want it to become a negative. You know, like, you want this to be exciting. It's nerve-wracking for the hairdresser. It's nerve-wracking for the owner. There's fear in what the response of Sally, who gets her weekly blow dry, or, you know, like you start like kind of sitting up thinking about, and really a lot of times making up what you think people, how you think people will respond. And I know for me that when we had like five or six KPIs that had to be held for 90 days, you know, the challenge is that like it just held people back for too long, to be honest, because there's really what we've identified is that there's one specific really important one. At the end of the day, there's one. And when you streamline things and you make it that simple, it can also help alleviate, you know, kind of the negativity that can be associated with it. Because I definitely had it where like some people matched those things, they were raised up. Let's say this person was doing four of them really well, but that fifth thing has been holding them back. And they, listen, the reality is some people aren't going to sell retail at a high level. Some people aren't going to pre-book at a high level. So you have to ask yourself, like, am I not going to raise this person's income or prices because of that one thing, even though they're doing these five others? And I know that for me, that held my business back for too long. So what we came up with was streamlining it to the one very important and most important one, which we call utilization.
Right. Utilization refers to productivity. How busy are you? If you have a day that you're working 6 hours, out of those 6 hours, how many of those hours are you actually with a client or a guest?
Right.
And then we figure out what that utilization rate is. We track it, and we still do track it over a 90-day period, mm-hmm. because we've learned that if you sustain a certain percentage of productivity or utilization, that you are able to withstand a price increase safely.
Right. Yeah, I mean, the reality is it's a proven like statistical fact, and it's just based on data and formula. So we know that when you raise your price a certain percentage based on the percentage of your busyness, the percentage of your utilization, right? We know that even if you lose 5% of your clients, which generally that would be the ultimate max, most of the time you're not even losing 1% of the clients, you're still able to come out on top and make more income. So for instance, well, let's kind of like break it down to the numbers.
Yeah, right. I think that we need to break it down to the numbers, and then I think we have to address kind of what we would call in coaching terms the elephant in the room.
Yeah.
And that's the fear behind it.
Yeah.
And so really what we've determined is that if your utilization rate is 80% or more for 90 days, you're eligible for a price increase. Now, how much do you increase?
Yeah.
That's always the next question.
Right.
Now I know I'm, let's say, 83% productive, or my utilization rate is 83%. So now I know I'm eligible. The next question we always get is, well, how much do I raise my prices?
Yeah.
And so we take a look at how far in advance you're booked. And so, Derek, take that away, and let's talk about, do they raise it 10%, 15%, 20%? What does that look like?
So it's going to be based on how busy you are. So if you're at between, what do we say, 80 to 85, we like 10%. So you're going to raise your prices 10% across the board. So that means every service that you offer should be increased by 10%. Mm-hmm. And then right. What's next?
And then if you're 85 to 90% utilization rate, then you're going to have a 15% increase.
Yes.
And then anything over that, you would have a 20% increase. Now, probably some of you just lost your cookies, right? You know, you think, oh my gosh, 20% across the board, that's too much. We hear it all the time. We hear it every single day that we're coaching. But what we're here to share with you is that we've done this with thousands of people. We've done it across this country. We've done it in Canada. We've done it in the Philippines. And it is proven to work. We've done all the research on that. And it works. It works every time. And like Derek said, typically what happens specifically with business owners is that the demand on their time still stays the same.
Yeah, it doesn't even change, which generally what that means, honestly, if it stays exactly the same, you probably didn't raise it enough. So a lot of times people will kind of balk on it. So if I'm at 98% productivity and I only raise it 10%, listen, that's better than not raising it at all. But you're probably not going to see much of a fluctuation in the percentage of time booked. And this is the reality. You can be too busy.
Absolutely.
And this, I know this is a badge of honor in the business where it's like, I'm booked out 3 months in advance. I would never want to be booked out 3 months in advance, to be perfectly honest. It creates so many challenges. It creates stress on yourself. It creates stress on the client if something has to change and they need to get back in and they can't. And the reality is, more than likely, if you're booked that far in advance, a lot of the time, you haven't raised your prices in quite some time.
Right. And I think that, you know, if you go back pre-pandemic, I think that there was a time when people thought it was really cool or really great to be booked 3 months in advance, 6 months in advance. But there's a lot of things that the pandemic taught us. And one of it is that we have to be a little bit more fluid with our scheduling. We've found that team members want more fluidity mm-hmm. in their scheduling. And so to book out 3 months or 6 months, what happens then when they need to take time off for whatever reason?
Yeah.
We've got a problem. We've got potential client upset. And so it's not, in our opinion anyways, it's no longer about being booked that far out is a really great thing, you know, go me.
Yeah, and I think, you know, it's also about not, it's really important that you're not doing this based on your emotion. Because there is fear associated with this, right?
There's always apprehension. Fear.
It's normal.
There's always fear. I remember sitting down with my business coach and her telling me that I had to raise my prices, and I had every reason and every excuse in the book mm-hmm. not to raise them, and I had to. And what was really standing in my way was fear.
Yeah.
I was afraid that I would lose clients. I was afraid. I had one client. We all have that one client. And every time I raised my prices, I would do the drop and dash. I would do the drop and dash at the front desk. So I would be like, thanks so much. And I would drop my ticket off and I would run in the back room and I could hear him all the way in the back room say, oh my God, she raised her prices again. But you know what? He kept coming back. And that's the reality. There's a reason we raise our prices.
Yeah.
And one of those reasons is to filter out some clients, to enable them to shift to a different chair within the organization so that we can get more new and ideal clients. And the other thing that's real is there's real fear around it.
Yeah, but this is also why we encourage leveled or tiered pricing, because what happens is if you have exceeded a certain client's budget, especially if you're raising your own prices as the owner, or even if it's another stylist, but speaking from the owner standpoint for a moment, if I've outpriced my client now, meaning they can't afford the next price, I can manage and help move them to a different chair. And when Absolutely. I move them to a different chair at the same price point or even possibly a lower price point than they've been paying, well, I can transition that in a really healthy, confident way, especially when you have consistent training and you're creating consistency in, you know, the product that you put out, you know, in the results.
Right.
So that's a huge, huge thing. I definitely helped build so many of my stylist clientels that way, because it was like moving, because in the beginning too, it's like you're in such demand, it's your salon, your name is on the door, or, you know, your name is, you sign the check. So people are calling for you over and over and over. And this is a great way to kind of filter it out because you're creating a leveled system specifically for that.
Right. And I think it's really important as a business owner that we have to help our employees stop MSUing. Stop making stuff up, right? Because we tend to manage our client's pocketbook.
Right.
And that's not our job. Our job is to deliver a service, to exceed expectations. It's their job to determine whether or not they want to pay what it is that we are charging for the service.
Yeah.
And I remember having a conversation with one of my clients who was going through a divorce. She was a school teacher, so she didn't have a super big income. And I told her, if ever my prices don't align with your budget, I am so okay with you going to another stylist within our organization, and I will help transition you over there. And we'll just make sure it's seamless. And she turned around and she looked at me and she said, I would give up my Starbucks before I would give up you. And I share that because we have no idea what our clients are thinking,
right,
or how valuable the perception is of what we offer them. And so let's stop making stuff up. Let's stop managing our clients' pocketbook. Mm-hmm. And let's base this on facts, because the facts tell us what this stuff, the emotions, will not tell us.
Yeah. Oh, well, I think you also said something really important where it's like that should be stated to the client. You know, that like we love the fact that our clients are comfortable going to other chairs as well. It creates a comfort for clients. Like, I remember when we first started doing this, like, this is over a decade ago, clients were shocked by that statement, mm-hmm, because they had not been used to that in a salon environment. They were used to, like, kind of toxic, you know, like, fighting, you know, it's like, you're cheating on me type of thing. Like, I always wondered, like, it's a client paying for a service, right? So they have a choice of where they want to spend their money. And you'd rather, even if you're not the owner, you would rather see that within the salon, that someone's comfortable to move to a different chair in the salon as opposed to leave the whole business altogether.
Absolutely. You know?
And I think that that's a big part of helping alleviate some of the stresses that come along with price increasing. And this is the reality. Every business needs to consistently raise prices, not to just keep up with inflation, but obviously that is a point, a part of it. But it's to really match the demand that's happening on your time. That's what right. this whole concept is about. Price it based on how much people want your time. And when you do it this way, it's foolproof. And I think the next thing moving into is, you know, okay, let's say you've now determined what your utilization rate is. You've determined what percentage of increase you're going to do. Well, now how do I do it? So what we always say is, let's talk about what not to do first, right? So we always say, don't post a sign in the salon 3 months prior to your price increase, 3 weeks prior to your price increase. To be honest, I don't recommend posting a sign at all. I love just sending out a nice, clear, concise email. You can do it via text as well if you prefer. We typically do it via email. And it's a very simple statement. Don't give the whole backstory of like a justification to your clients of, well, prices, you know, supplies have increased, so that's why I need to raise your price. I'm so sorry. Thank you so much for your, you know, your patronage. It's just like you kind of backpedaling while you're trying to tell them something. It's more like, the demand of my time warrants an X price increase. We thank you so much, and the price increase will be effective X date. And I recommend doing it 7 days prior to the increase. That's it. We do it 1 week prior. Clients all know as of that date, the prices are changed. Now, let's say that the date comes, a client gets to the front and says, I didn't see the email. And there's like a sticker shock, or there's an awkwardness happening at the front. How would you handle that?
Well, to me, it's about, you know, I completely understand. And what I'd like to do this time is I'd like to honor our old prices. And then moving forward, this will be our new prices. Fair enough. And everybody is always way okay with that. And they actually thank you.
They're very appreciative for that. And it also gives, so if you're the person, let's say that you don't have a front desk and you're the person actually communicating this to clients, it gives you not an out, but it gives you a resource to utilize if and when this comes up. Yeah. And then if you do have a front desk, it's something that you give them as a resource so that there's not that like awkwardness or like, okay, hold on 1 second, I got to go talk to the owner. You've already talked to your front desk about handling these kind of conversations. Exactly. And to be honest, if I had to guess, because I'm not going to give you an exact stat, but just thinking of the history over the last decade, even from my own experience, that's probably less than 2% of your clients that even say that. Because most of them did read the email. Most of them got it, especially if you send it via text also. So a lot of times, like our system, you can send it out via email, but maybe people that you don't have their email address on file, it will text them a link, which they just click it and then it pops up and they can see that same email. So it's just keeping it simple. The whole concept of what we're talking about is simplifying and streamlining the whole process.
Absolutely.
So that it's clear for you, it's clear for the client, it's simple for you to determine when to raise, how much to raise, how to communicate it.
Absolutely. And when you speak of when to raise, it's like, okay, now we know if we're at 80% utilization and or 85 or 90, how much and when to raise it. Here's the thing. It's not like a once and done. We continue to monitor our utilization percentage, and you can safely raise your prices every 4 months as long as your utilization is 80% or higher.
Right. Once it drops below that 80%,
you know you've reached that mark.
Don't raise your prices.
Right.
And this is really important for young stylists to understand. If you're not at 80% yet, you're not ready for a price increase. So the next thing you might think is, okay, well then I'm going to ask my owner if I can get more commission, because there's two things that happen around that. It's like, I want to make more money, so I'm going to be able to get more commission. And if they can't raise my price, then at least I can get more money that way. And that's really not the way that it works, to be honest. When there's a structure that's correct with the commission structure for the salon, it means that it's making the salon be able to operate. With increasing, I always explain it where if you took a pie or a pizza pie, it's not about being able to give you more slices of the same pizza pie that we have. It's about expanding the size of the pie, and that's through price increases. So what we always encourage team members to really focus on is that utilization rate, so that you know, okay, if you're not at 80% yet and you're at 60%, can you imagine filling 20% more of your time? Your income is going to instantly increase without a price increase at that point. Right. And then you're going to hold that 80% for 3 months or so, or 3 months or longer. And you're ready for a price increase at that point.
Right. Right. So I think people should get excited about it.
Yeah.
Because it's something to celebrate. You've worked hard. You've earned the right to raise your prices. And so go raise your prices and do it based on facts.
Do it based on facts, data, not emotion. You know, listen to this one again. Watch it one more time. Write down what we were talking about. This is going to be an amazing formula for your business to consistently raise prices the right way. Anything else?
No. I say good luck, and let us know if you have any questions around utilization or when and how to raise your prices. We're here to help you.
Absolutely. Take care, everybody. Till next time. Thank you for tuning in to this episode of the Culture Curators Podcast. Please like, comment, follow, and subscribe.